We invite you to listen now to the Chapel Platform coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. The messages we bring you, preached in chapel and other services on the campus, have been used of God for many years. On today's program, our speaker is Dr. Richard Snavely from Winter Haven, Florida. Some activities mentioned refer to Dr. Snavely's service up to the time he preached this message at a summer chapel service at the university on Monday, June 13, 1983. His text is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. If worry controls you, then listen as Dr. Snavely shares biblical guidelines on how to live in true and vibrant faith in God. Our Lord desires us to live a life in trust in Himself. Keep this in mind as we grow in Him and draw closer to Him in faith. Let's listen as Dr. Snavely shares this message titled, Casting All Your Care Upon Him.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, you're all awake. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, if we might. 1 Peter chapter 5, as one would peruse the pages of 1 Peter, we realize that the theme of this great book is the theme of suffering. Severe persecution was beginning to break in upon those believers, and they were sure that there was more to come. And there was, as the various Roman emperors made their various decrees that brought much suffering to the believers in that time. But they were fretting, they were stewing, they were worrying, they were uptight about things. And I dare say that there's some here in summer school now that you're wondering about the future, and you have just a couple of classes to finish yet, and then your degree will be completed, and you'll be thrust out into the work. And others are making decisions whether to stay, whether to come back next year, just what you should do in the things of the Lord. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5, beginning please at verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." A certain conference speaker relates that how he was visiting in a particular home, and the son had just been married in recent weeks, and it was a whole new adjustment for the family. It was hard for them to go to bed at night and not listen for the garage door to go up as the son would be coming home, so they remembered. And it was hard for them not to be listening for that car door to slam as he would be coming home at the last minute to gather with them at the evening dinner table. And they missed his presence there. And the wife became a little weepy about the matter in the conference speaker's presence. And so the head of the home, the husband, said, "But dear, just remember now, your worries are all over." And she pondered and she thought for a moment and said, "Yes, dear, but you know, I'm really not happy unless I'm worrying about something." You know, it seems that many people can almost testify to that very fact today. Too often, worry becomes a very integral part of our life as a believer. And of course, you know the New Testament word for worry, as you begin to dig into that word, it means to divide, to part, to rip or to tear apart. And my friend, that's exactly what worry does. It's a very vivid aspect that comes into our life when we allow worry to enter. Worry literally rips a person apart. Worry can rip one apart emotionally. Worry can rip one apart physically. And many doctors testify to the fact that many, many of the diseases that we have, and of course the ulcers and kidney stones and all of these things, usually are associated with a matter of fretting and worry. Now, how can we handle anxiety? How can we handle worry in God's proper pattern and proper way? Well, the Word of God tells us in 1 Peter 5, He says here, "Casting all of your care upon Him, because He careth for us." Now let's take a look at that word care, casting all of your care upon Him. That word care means to distract, to draw in different directions at the same time. And is that not exactly what worry and anxious care does? It just pulls us in all types of directions and different directions, and great frustration then comes crowding into our life. But in dealing with the subject of care, anxiety, and worry, we need to honestly face it as what God says about it. And that fact is that it's sin. It's not just a weakness. It's not just a failure. But worry is sin in our lives in the sight of a holy God. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 4, where we find the Lord Himself speaking about this matter of care. And in the context, it's referring to worry, to anxiety. Mark chapter 4, begin reading please at verse 18, where we see the parable of the sower set forth. And our Lord is speaking, He says in 18, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares," speaking of anxiety, fretting, worrying, "and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Say, the word's very plain in teaching us here that not handling properly the cares of this world, the anxieties, the worries, makes you and me unfruitful as a believer, and it chokes out the word of God. Now, we can become worldly without becoming vain and without becoming vulgar, profane. You see, the things that worries and upsets the unsaved man on the street often does the very same thing to you and to me. And too often we are apt to respond to the cares of this life just like the unsaved man or woman on the street does. Oh yes, we produce leaves and we look nice from a distance, but when people really begin to rub shoulders with us and we become close in communication with each other, there's actually no fruit in our lives because of the sin of worry and anxiety that we allow to be going on within our lives. Turn as well with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Where we find, again, our Lord speaking about this matter of worry, anxiety. Luke 21, verse 34. Jesus says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, burdened, pressed down with surfeiting and drunkenness, and the cares," there's the word again, "and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares." Would you notice that the Lord puts the matter of not handling the cares of this life in a proper way? That He puts the cares, the worry, and the anxiety, and He puts that in with the same company and the same sin as drunkenness. Worrying, what He's saying is just as much a sin in the sight of the Lord as literally going out and getting drunk. He said, "But I don't keep company with drunkards." But wait a minute. What's one of the reasons that men go to drink? What makes them go out and get drunk? It's because they want to drown their anxiety. They want to drown their cares, their worries, you see. And worldliness is not merely doing the same thing as the world does, but it's simply having the same attitude as the world does. And worrying and fretting, we do so often as believers, and we begin to act and to perform as if we were orphans and did not have a Heavenly Father that's concerned about every single matter that concerns us as a believer. Now, what are we to do then with these cares that the Scripture speaks about? Well, the Scripture says here in 1 Peter, "Casting all of your care upon Him," the Lord. Suppose I should come out on the platform this morning and I'm supporting a heavy weight on my shoulder, a weight that's so heavy that my knees almost begin to buckle and my back begins to ache. Now, how does that weight stay here? Does it just balance there? No. If that weight's going to stay on my shoulder, I must cling to it. I must hold there. It stays there because I have a firm grip upon it. Now, what do I have to do to get rid of that burden, that weight? All I have to do is to relax my grip, and the natural force of gravity will see that that weight would fall here to the platform floor. And when Peter says to you and to me as a believer to cast all of our care upon Him, he's talking about a definite act of committal in our life, in which we as a child of God say, Lord, I refuse to carry this burden, this matter of anxiety any longer, and I am going to release my grip upon it, and I'm going to cast it upon You that You might take it from me. Really, you stop to analyze it. Our worries, our anxieties stay with us because we hold on to them. But if we're willing to relax our grip and make that definite committal to the Lord, you will find what God's Word says to be true, casting all of your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Now notice the context of our passage here in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says in verse 5, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud and He giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Anxiety and worry are a self-contradiction to true humility. And anxiety and worry comes about in our lives because of unbelief. And unbelief is really an exalting of self against the Lord and saying that I can make it on my own, that I can depend upon my own initiative, my own intellect, my own abilities to figure out this particular matter instead of failing to trust the Lord to work it out as I cooperate with Him. And the Scripture says that God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. And as you know from the study of the Word, that Greek word resisteth is a Greek military term, meaning the fact that one is drawn up in battle array against another person. And when we, in unbelief, think we can work it out, we may not realize it, but we're being proud. We're being self-sufficient. And the Scripture says that God literally draws Himself up in battle array against the proud person to put them down. And oh, how God can put us and humble us when we think that we can figure something out, when we can handle a particular problem that we need to literally take and cast it upon the shoulders of our great God. But God gives grace and God gives strength to the humble person who casts his worries and his cares and his anxieties on the Lord, casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And as you study those two words, care, you will find, and perhaps you've already found it to be so, that there's two different words used for the word care here in the context. The first word, care, as we've noted, means to distract, to pull in different directions at the same time. But the second word, care, casting all of your care upon Him, for He, God, careth for you. The second word, care, that speaks about God's concern for us is a different word. And it means forethought, an interest in us, rather than that opposite of anxiety and of tearing apart. And certainly, God cares for us, and God had us in mind, yea, clear before the very foundation of the world. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, the script beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He, God, hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Thank God, God accepts us and loves us just as much as He loves His own Son. And you go back to Proverbs chapter 8, and it speaks about back in the council chambers of eternity, before the world was even created, the Scripture says, speaking of Jesus Christ, that daily He was the delight of the Father. And since we've been accepted in the Beloved, daily we are the delight of the Father. And He cares for us. He says in verse 7, in whom we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Bless God, that's forethought, isn't it? That's interest. That's concern. And since God so wonderfully cared for us and was concerned about us as a believer even before the very foundation of the world, and then He sent His Son to die for us on the cross, He sent the Holy Spirit as the hound of heaven to convict us and bring us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then will He not, as He tells us in Romans chapter 8, freely give us all things now that we've been saved by the grace of God? Let's quit acting like orphans. Let's quit acting as if we didn't have a Heavenly Father that was concerned about every matter that concerns us. I'm sure that many of you here have been hurt financially by the recession. But you know something, friend? The recession didn't take God by surprise. Didn't take God by surprise. And it doesn't take God by surprise that you're here in summer school now. And it hasn't taken God by surprise that some of you have some definite needs that need to be met. No, God knew about that. God knows about it in a very definite way. Because God has us in mind. But you say, Pastor, how do I roll that burden? How do I cast that burden upon God? How do I let loose of this burden that's about ready to stagger me? How do I cast it? Well, turn with us to Philippians chapter 4, which is a wonderful passage that we know well. We do not have time to develop it. It would be a whole series of messages if we did. But he speaks here very definitely about the divine method of handling anxiety. And it has to do with right praying and right thinking. And we'll deal just with the matter of prayer here for a bit this morning. He tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and I would remind you that Paul was not penning that from the Holiday Inn. Paul was penning that from the prison where he was incarcerated in Rome. And so he's writing out a reality and showing us how to handle anxiety, how to cast that care upon God because He cares for us. He says, let your moderation, your sweet reasonableness be made unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming. And the Lord is at hand here in the prison with me. Be careful. There's that word care again. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So he begins by saying, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Not just a little, not just the big things, but in everything by prayer. And as you know, the word prayer here is the general word for prayer used in Scripture that carries the idea of adoration and devotion. In this case, it means the worship of God, recognizing who God is. God is the one who was never discouraged. God is the one who was never defeated. God is the one who was never taken by surprise, as we've just mentioned previously, because He knows all things. And as we get alone in our prayer closet with God, we need to realize that we are face to face in the presence of the one who created all things and sustains all things by His power. And He's able to sustain you and me as well. We need to recognize who God is. We need to have an appetite for God. We just finished a series of messages back at Calvary on what is your appetite to know God. And our people have been helped as we realize that God is God. And that He's interested individually in us. And so He says here in this passage. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, recognizing who God is, and devotion, prayers, and supplication, he tells us. Supplication means an earnest sharing of our needs and our problems with our great God. It was Spurgeon who said concerning the time of being burdened and with cares, he said, turn the vessel of your soul upside down in the Lord's presence and let your innermost thoughts and desires and sorrows be poured out like water. Hide nothing from Him, for you cannot hide anything from God. Let Him be your Father confessor, for only He can forgive and cleanse by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how we just need to get alone at times and just pour out our petitions and pour out our heart and pour out our soul unto the Lord. We all battle this matter of anxiety and worry. Last Wednesday night, just before prayer meeting, one of our staff members came into our office and dumped a problem in my lap that I said, oh Lord, and I already had two that week I was dealing with. And I must confess, I came home after prayer meeting and had a meeting after that, and it was late. It was after midnight and I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. I was rolling and tossing because of those three particular problems. And I awoke about 4:30 in the morning. Could not rest, could not just... And what was the problem? The very problem I'm talking about this morning, this matter of not handling anxiety in the right way. And so I quietly got up and put my robe on and went downstairs at the kitchen table, as I often do, early in the morning. And I've been reading in the Psalms, and I said, Lord, now this is not right, and God, You've got some answers to this. And I began reading in the Psalms and in my regular scheduled reading. And I came to Psalm 50 in verse 15 where the Scripture says, and call upon Me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify Me. I said, oh God, thank You. Thank You, thank You. And I just took that anxiety and I rolled that over on the Lord. And in a half an hour's time, God gave us definite answers from the Word, with authority from the Word on how to deal with those very problems. And within a day and a half, God worked those out in a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous manner. And it all came because I was just willing to let loose of it myself and say, Lord, I can't do it, but God, You've got to do it. You've got to do it. We begin to pray about some things, and God just supernaturally brought one person into the office that I'd have had to run down to sneak up on them and try to deal with it. And they came to me. They came to me. And another particular family that we're in great difficulty and affected so much the whole church body. We were able to work that out before we flew into Greenville on a Saturday. And God just undertook in a marvelous way. And I said, Lord, thank You for rebuking me, that I might learn to cast all of my care upon You. Call unto Me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. But we have to call instead of trying to handle it ourselves. And so he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, that ingredient of thanksgiving is so needful when we're handling the matter of care and anxiety. Thankful for our eternal salvation. Thankful for all the blessings received since our salvation in His gracious providence. Thanks that nothing can separate us from His love. Thankful that God has the very hairs upon our head number and is concerned, I say, about every matter that's concerned us. What a blessed promise is given. Now, what's the result when there is that right kind of praying before God, where we take those burdens and roll them over on the Lord's shoulder? Ah, I love what He has to say then in that very next verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The promise given, pray and feel better. No, that's the unsaved man's point of view. That doesn't say that at all. That is, fill your mind with the thoughts of God so you won't think about your problems. No, that's not the answer. Rather, pray and God will do something. That peace that comes from God passes all human understanding, and it keeps your heart and it keeps your mind. And those words "shall keep" are from a military term meaning to mount guard. See what Paul is saying here. The peace of God will mount the ramparts and the towers of our heart and our mind. And around us, circumstances that produces stress and strain and anxiety. But the peace of God mounts guard and garrisons about our hearts and minds, guards them to keep out those stresses and those strains, that on the inside there might be a calm inward delight. This peace that mounts guard over one's heart and mind cannot be explained. It passeth all human understanding. Doctors can't explain it, and psychiatrists can't explain it, and psychologists can't explain it, and you can't explain it, because it comes from the supernatural power of God Almighty. He says, in all things, make your request be known unto God. And God will remove and banish all the problems. That's not what it says. It's not the health and the wealth gospel that the charismatics are always talking about in all their charismatic shows and talk shows and all of that. That's not it at all. See well, that's not the promise. Paul doesn't say anything about the outward harassing conditions. The circumstances may or may not change. We say, if my circumstances improve, then I'll have peace. If I don't, they'll get worse. I won't have any peace. But that's not what the Scripture says in the situation. Our inward peace is not controlled by the outward circumstances. Paul says, you follow this divine prescription, and your heart and mind will be guarded by the peace of God regardless of whether the outward circumstances become better or worse. Thank God that is real victory of taking us above the particular circumstances. Particular problems that I spoke about still have to be worked out and worked through back home in a definite way. We've just got a handle, a grip on it, but God's given us some answers and the authority from the Word on how to deal with the problem. And so I know God's in control of it. And I can trust Him as I depend upon His wisdom and His knowledge as given to me through the Word to work out the problem in His own timing, that I might not let cares and frettings worry, rip me in two directions and tear me apart. May God help you. May God help me to cast those cares upon Him, knowing that He has given great forethought and He cares for us. Let's pray. Father, take the Word of God and use it in our hearts and lives. And Father, I pray now for some precious undergraduate student or some graduate student, perhaps some faculty member, and the worry, the fretting about some particular matter is literally ripping them apart. And I would pray, God, that we might just take those matters, each of us, whatever it might be in our lives, and cast it upon Thee, knowing that You've given forethought, that You're concerned about us. That, Father, the peace of God that passeth all understanding might mount guard upon the ramparts, upon the towers of our heart and mind, through Christ Jesus. And we'll praise Thee now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, just send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Just mention the speaker, Dr. Richard Snavely, the message titled, Casting All Your Care Upon Him, and also be sure to mention today's date. The Chapel Platform is sponsored by Bob Jones University.